party.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ coming to you live. It's 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm back on the East Coast here in the outskirts of Greenville, South Carolina. G-R-E-E-N-V-L. Greenville. And it's a good time here. Lots of folks hanging out. I'm hanging out at the house of Big Daddy Fink from 420radio.org. And some road tripping activists have made their way to this hacienda. And it's been a delight because that includes two who I was in New York with. That would be Jenna Broom from North Carolina and Sharon Ravert from Georgia. They are in the house, although they're technically not in the house right now. They're outside on the porch looking at the pool. But it's been an interesting situation getting to see people in different places as we go from place to place. And you learn so much about the people that are involved in this marijuana activism and how much we rely on one another to get through this and to be able to split hotel rooms and to be able to share meals and share cabs. And when someone's got a house and you're road tripping through, you can stop by and hang out and relax and get off the road for a while. There's so much cooperation that goes on in this and so many people that put so much of their own money into it and their own time into it. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. And I thank everybody who's ever supported me or helped me out in doing what I do. And I hope in some way I'm giving back and able to help those people that are moving forward in their activism. And coming up on this hour two, we've got some fun stuff for you because I've been out on the road. Like I said, New York City, spent 5-6 days in New York City, got to go to Coney Island and the 9/11 Memorial, which is the second most impactful memorial I've ever visited. The Vietnam War Memorial, of course, was powerful. That's number one in my book. But the 9/11 Memorial is right up there. And got to see the East Village. Had a most interesting time. Kristen Gwynn, my former editor at The Alternate, now working at High Times. I had the time off, and we were done with the event at the United Nations. And I said, what can I do that's New York-y, but not touristy, right? Like, I've done the Empire State Building and Times Square and Madison Square Garden and Central Park and, you know, all that kind of stuff, Freedom Tower. So what can I do that's New York-y, but not touristy? And she goes, well, have you been to the East Village? And I'm like, no. And so, well, let me take you to the East Village. Now, mind you, she's saying this, we're in Midtown. So we're like at 42nd Street, like UN and, you know, First Avenue, right? And we have to walk downtown all the way to the East Village to like Alphabet City down there, and you know, 40 block walk. And this woman, she's definitely a New Yorker because she walks like a New Yorker. My God, they walk fast. I thought I was a fast walker, but got nothing on these folks. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't noticed is a whole lot of skateboarders. And she goes, oh, that's where we're going. It's where the skateboarders are. And we had a good time. We walked down there. I got to get my finally got a slice of New York pizza. and visited Tompkins Square Park. And right as I rolled up a doobie to smoke in Tompkins Square Park and took my first puff, suddenly, out of nowhere, an NYPD police van races through. This is like the pedestrian part of the park, races up the trail right toward us. I'm like, holy shit. Oh my God, I'm getting busted again. Again, it's happening again. No, there was some fight or something that was going on past us. So this police van just rolls right on by, lights and sirens blaring. I'm holding my breath. I've still got my hit in my lungs waiting for this thing to go by. Oh my God, people. I'm getting too old for this shit. When we come back, we're going to take on a little Kevin Sabet from the United Nations. I sat on in his presentation, plus his protege, Will Jones, from Two Is Enough DC, the losing Washington, DC organization, right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon.
You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of box smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so concrete.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Live from South Carolina, I'm Radical Russ. Just hanging out here. Bunch of activists all about us. A couple of nice dogs, too. We got a little dog. A little long-haired dog chewing on a bone over to my right. And then I don't know where the big dog went, but Jenna brought this big old dog. One of them big dogs with them blockheads. Got a dot. It would be a white dog with a big old black dot right square in the middle of its skull. Couldn't be a more gentle dog. What a lovely, lovely dog. Makes me miss my Roscoe, but hey, that's the way the ball bounces. We're back from so many different trips. I just flew here from Eugene, Oregon. I missed the North Carolina prescription pill bottle drop. Jenna Broom was showing me some of the pictures, and they just came from that, Jenna and Sharon did. And they were showing me some of the pictures from this event, and there were thousands of North Carolinians that showed up there in Raleigh for this event. I'm so sad that I missed it. The United Airlines flight out of Eugene, Oregon got delayed 4.5 hours. I've never had a 4.5 hour flight delay, but to get me to South Carolina was a two layover trip. I had to hit Denver and Houston to get to Greenville, G-R-E-E-N-V-L, Greenville. And, but it's been a lot of fun. Before Eugene, I came from New York City
And my last day in New York, I had the day off. I scheduled an extra day after UnGas and after the Mark Kleiman thing. I did like 5 days in a row there, Sunday through Thursday. And so I scheduled Friday to have the day off. But New York, as it does, will make a man broke. Man, it's expensive in New York, right? And this is, you know, this with walking everywhere and taking the subway, got the Metro card. Although somebody led me to buying a bunch of special M&Ms for some reason. I don't know what the hell I'm doing buying M&Ms at $6.99 a pound. What the hell is that? Well, she took us to the M&M store. Why the hell do we go to the M&M store? And another great memory on the Metro, though, is Jenna sleeping on the subway with Sharon sitting next to him when the bass player and the singer come on and playing Stand By Me and serenades Sharon there. That was pretty telling. I got video of that we'll have passed around and shared. But the next thing I want to get to here on the show is Kevin Sabet. Because you may have seen the photo, if you follow my social media accounts, of me and Kevin next to each other. And I tweeted it out alongside a picture from the old Warner Brothers cartoon of Sam the Sheepdog and Ralph the Wolf. Now, a lot of people, when they see that, they think it's Wile E. Coyote, but it's not. Wile E. Coyote does not speak. Sam, or Ralph the Wolf does. So it's the one where Sam and Ralph, they're both clocking in. Morning, Sam. Morning, Ralph. And then the rest of the cartoon is typical sheepdog versus wolf, you know, trying to get the sheep, and Acme bomb making stuff is involved and so forth. And at the end of it, they're both clocking out. And that's kind of how I feel whenever I see Kevin Sabet. Like, he's Sam the Sheepdog and I'm Ralph the Wolf somehow. But we're both, the subtle part is that they're both clocking in on the same time clock, right? You ever notice that in the cartoon? The wolf and the sheepdog both clocking in. That's a subtle kind of, you know, political statement, you know, if you really think about that, right? And in the same way, I think Sabet and I are in that boat, in that the drug war, the controversy over it, you know, pays both of our salaries. His far more lucratively than mine. Let me just put that out there. Far more lucratively than mine. But still, kind of both. I had someone I met recently that said paladin of pot. Called me a paladin of pot. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Yeah. I just kind of believe in this, and I believe in this change, and I believe in it as a civil rights thing. So when I tweeted that picture out, a lot of people were like, well, how do you not punch him in the face? How can you stand that guy? Right. And I don't know, maybe I take the position that he does really believe in what he's doing. Right. That maybe he, he's like a religious person, right? When you find a religious person and you question really, you know, if you get down to the literal texts of what they believe, and come on, you don't really believe that. Come on, really? And they do, right? And do you ascribe them as them trying to fool you or to fool themselves, right? And I don't know. With Kevin, I get this feeling like his heart's in the right place. He just wants everybody to be sober, I guess. But anyway, so I saw him there at the United Nations thing, and I asked him, you know, hey, I want to see your event. When's your event? And he says, well, it's Thursday at 5:30. Okay, I'll be there, right? So I end up going there, and it's this UN conference room, and the title of the event was Alternative Legal Regimes for Cannabis. Alternative Legal Regimes for Cannabis. And the funny thing was, there's four speakers. There was a speaker from the World Health Organization, Maria Engstrom, I think her name was, Kevin Sabet, and then Will Jones. Will Jones is the guy that headed up Two Is Enough DC, which was the anti-legalization campaign that lost 70-30, or was it 71-29, something like that. He's a young African-American man, 24, 26, something like that, and he's a rising star. Watch this kid coming. He's pretty good at what he does. Doesn't mean that he's not completely full of shit on some of this stuff, but we'll play some of him if we get some time too. And then there was also a professor, Sean Lanau, from UC Denver, University of Colorado, Denver, who gave all sorts of scare stats that, you know, won't withstand a moment of scrutiny. I don't even know if I'll get time to play this guy. Some of the stuff, like, here's a bar graph of how often people smoke pot in prohibition states compared to how much they smoke pot in medical states. Ooh, it's bigger compared to how much they smoke in recreational states. Ooh, it's really big. Well, yeah, because places where people smoke pot, they pass laws, right? It's not working the other way around. It's not like you pass a law and suddenly all these people started smoking pot. No, they were already smoking pot and they got together and said, hey, you know what? It'd be nice if we weren't criminals. Maybe we ought to pass a law. And that's what happens. So all sorts of BS, scaremonging, bullshit stats like that in this report. So I was there, and I was there along with a few other people. Kristen Gwynn from Alternet. Oh, good day. Heading back on the road.
Yes.
Okay, good day, ladies. See you, so nice. So nice to see you. Good day, good day. Tally-ho.
See you soon.
I'll see you down in Atlanta. Or Dahlonega. I'm not sure where we're stopping first.
Yeah,
probably Dahlonega. Okay. We're live here on Cannabis Radio. Definitely live. Got to say goodbye to our activist friends. They're heading back on the road back to Georgia from their North Carolina gig. But anyway, the Kevin Sabet adventure, lots of fun. Had that Sean Leno. And so these four speakers, and also attending, I saw Kristen Gwynn there from Alternet, or formerly from Alternet, now with High Times. Who else was attending there? This woman, Jennifer Howler, something like that. I can't remember the last name exactly. But she's with Tilray, which is the medical subsidiary of Privateer Holdings. And it's particularly funny during Kevin Sabet's presentation, and you'll hear it when we get to the audio here. He makes part of his presentation is that whole big marijuana scare. Oh, no, here comes a marijuana industry that's going to want to hook all your kids. Oh, big marijuana that's going to create jobs and pay taxes and settle its disputes in courts instead of with bullets. Oh, no. Right. That's all they got left. Right. So as Kevin makes his big marijuana scare, one of his slides has Privateer Holdings, Marley Natural, Privateer Holdings. So I got this great snapshot of Jennifer, the woman from Tilray, looking at the slide, got the back of her head looking at the slide of it kind of demeaning her company. And she did end up getting to talk to him after the event. I saw her go up and make some conversation with Kevin. So I wish I could have been a little closer to have heard what went down, but it sounded very interesting. I also, at the end of the event, introduced myself to Will Jones, the young man from Two Is Enough DC. And I came up to him and I said, hey, Will, you have some fantastic presentation skills. I'm Radical Russ. Nice to meet you. And he was genuinely shocked. He actually jumped back a bit. It was funny. You're Radical Russ. I can't believe I'm talking to Radical Russ. I'm like, in my mind thinking, yeah, like potheads can fly and shit, we can buy plane tickets and dress in suits and stuff. Who knew? Anyway, so we'll play some of that, and also coming up on the show, we'll have some time to get to some musical interludes. We heard from John Forte at the Museum for Drug Policy. The Museum of Drug Policy was set up for 3 days. It was a temporary thing they set up on Park Avenue. Open Society Foundation, which is the George Soros-funded philanthropic arm, funded this museum on Park Avenue, which is some pretty expensive real estate. Who knows? 3 days on Park Avenue could be like a year's worth of rent in a lot of places, probably. But they had this warehouse on 235 Park Avenue that was set up as a temporary Museum of Drug Policy. And John Forte played there, so I'll have some music from John Forte. But that was an amazing display, by the way. Some great art. Also, they had a mock-up of a supervised injection facility, like you have in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Switzerland, and so forth. Good to see what that looked like, clean, sterile, nothing scary about it. And that was another major portion of, a lot of what went down at the UN, at the drug policy summits, people broadening their horizons beyond just cannabis. It almost seems, even on both sides, that this cannabis legalization thing is kind of just going to happen. And people are looking beyond that now to look at other drugs and how we deal with other drugs. I read a news blurb today that Hawaii's legislature is looking at, maybe we just go toward decriminalizing all drugs. And there may be a revolution in thought going on now that recognizes that prohibition is the problem. Now, it's not that... Oh.
I know nothing. Nothing.
I'll have to get to that point later. Because it is now 4:20 in my native Pacific time zone. And thanks to the biological clock, of course, I need to take a very important safety break. So we're going to take a break, and we got that Kevin Sabet audio. We'll get to that next, so stay tuned.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
The time has come to end prohibition of marijuana in Vermont.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for marijuana sales to take place in regulated businesses
and stop taking place in our neighborhoods.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to create rules for testing and labeling marijuana so that consumers can know what they're getting.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to stop punishing adults for consuming a product that's less harmful than alcohol.
And spend more time addressing serious crimes.
Prohibition has failed.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
S-241 would end prohibition.
And regulate marijuana in Vermont.
We are ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Vermont is ready.
Contact a representative now and ask them to support S-241.
It's time to end prohibition and regulate marijuana in Vermont.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 7:23 here on the East Coast, 4:23 back home in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and we just heard our commercial from my supporter and longtime sponsor, Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, and I want to give a special shout out to Thomas Barrington from Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, who has just gotten married. Congratulations on your wedding. So happy for the both of you. And the pictures I'm seeing on Facebook are beautiful. You look great. Everybody looks like they had a great time, and I really wish I could have been there as well. So Thomas and Beth Barrington, I don't know if you're going to keep the last name, Beth, but whatever you're going to do, let's all be PC, however we want to do it. We support it. Now I've gone completely off track, but I'm so glad that you had a happy wedding, and I hope things go very well for you both. All right, let's get to the audio for today, because I attended that session, Kevin Sabet's Alternative Legal Regimes for Cannabis, that he held at the United Nations, where not a single alternative legal regime for cannabis was discussed. There were no alternatives whatsoever discussed. It was all just pretty much ragging on Colorado and Washington to some extent, ragging on legalization, how we can't let it happen in California because then the sky will fall. And let's get to it. Here's some Kevin Sabet for you.
In the field. We will move on to a more political angle of this issue. And Kevin Sabet is one of the most primary oppositions to cannabis legalization in the United States, it's fair to say. And he will walk us through what is happening with the commercialization of cannabis. So, Kevin.
Thank you, Eric, and your excellencies and representatives and delegates that are here, members of UN agencies. I want to express appreciation for you attending this last side event on the last day, of maybe the last ungas this decade at least, right? Maybe. It depends. I realize that there are a lot of other things that we want to tend to, but we're very appreciative that you're here. I'm going to talk hopefully somewhat briefly and quickly, although we'll make sure this is available for you afterwards, and I think all the presentations will be available for you about really what the U.S. is seeing right now in the midst of the greatest change in any, I think, national drug policy in the world in over a century, I would venture to say. We're very proud to be part of the Prevent, Don't Promote campaign here this week, an NGO umbrella group, a campaign of over 300 NGOs from every part of the world.
And that's where I got to stop for the first, because I saw their sign there. They had them around at the UN. Prevent, don't promote. Prevent, don't promote. Now, you have to understand that we also had something that we wanted to have at the UN. The Drug Policy Alliance and LEAP and all the groups and 1,000 signatories signed on to this letter to Ban Ki-moon, the president or the secretary general of the UN, to end the global war on drugs. And it came as a kind of a newsletter format, that, you know, like an 8-page newsletter format. And on the top, it said the Post-Prohibition Times, which was like in the old English font. And it had the letter. And then the rest of the pages were all the signatories. That's how many there were. It took 8 pages to list them. UN security were confiscating those. You were not allowed to bring those into the UN because it was politicking, illegal politicking. But apparently the NGOs that are fighting against legalization can have prevent, don't promote everywhere, prevent, don't promote. My only problem with prevent, don't promote is it kind of implies that there's only two choices, that we're either preventing people from using drugs or we're promoting people using for drugs. How about we just leave people alone? Couldn't that be one of the options? Like when they talk about, when they worry about this advertising that might happen for drugs or for marijuana, that there could be advertising for marijuana preventing or promoting marijuana use, I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing, especially if that's getting people off of Ambien and acetaminophen and arthritis meds, and that's just the A's, right? We're just starting down the list. Anyway, let's go back to Kevin for a second here. Prevent, don't promote. Jeez.
I'm really talking about the importance of prevention and not promoting drug abuse in any way. Many of you know about what Smart Approaches to Marijuana is. It's we sort of call ourselves a third way organization that doesn't want to criminalize drug use, especially marijuana use, but also doesn't want to allow the presence of another global public health disaster in the name of really addiction marketing.
A disaster in addiction marketing. It'd be, oh no, we'd all be addicted to pot. There'll be pot zombies. Oh my God. But I talked with Chris Goldstein. I finally got to see Chris Goldstein in DC and share a bowl with him after him being on probation for 2 years. And he tells me, you know, I've always said that Project Sam should really be called Project Samuel, Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use Except Legalization. And he says, yeah, do you know what SMART stands for? And I go, no. He says, stoners must all receive treatment. I'm like, yeah, that's, there you go. That's your SMART approaches.
Industries, as we now see with the global tobacco industry and the global alcohol industry, as well as pharmaceutical companies. So we are advocating for an evidence-based approach, and we were founded by former Congressman Patrick Kennedy, who's a tireless supporter of mental health around the world. over several affiliates, dozens around the world and in the U.S. We're very worried that this issue of legalization is bringing along what we call big marijuana. This idea that there will be companies marketing marijuana use to young people, because that is when, of course, the brain is most vulnerable to addiction. And
I have yet to find a marijuana company in the legal states that is marketing their marijuana to the youth. The slides that Kevin displays at points like this to indicate that this is happening are the old pictures from the Tainted Ink case going back to the early 2000s of things like Keef Cats and Budda Fingers, right? Where they make puns off of the, they do rip-off brands of existing candy bars for medicated bars. And then, of course, God forbid, the gummy bear. Oh my God, the gummy bear. Right, so these, there'll be slides of these gummy bears and Keef Cats and Budda Fingers, and that's supposed to indicate marketing to the kids. Now, I actually looked up the stats on this, because you know me, I look shit up. And according to the Confectioners Association, whatever the hell the name of the group is, I forget the exact acronym, but basically the trade association for candy, 2/3 of all candy in the United States is consumed by adults. So 2 out of 3 gummy bears are going to adults. So why are you saying this is marketing to kids when clearly adults like this stuff too? Have you ever visited a Walmart? Have you seen the people shopping there? Come on. People like candy. Adults like candy. That is not prima facie evidence of marketing to kids. Another one that was cited, and this was funny, was in his slideshow a little later, he shows a picture of an ad that you'd see in a typical trade mag or a, you know, dope magazine or whatever. I shouldn't pick on dope. I don't know if it was in their magazine, but you know, one of the, you know, weed magazines, of a scantily clad woman, right, with, you know, medical recommendation or whatever. And that was supposed to be marketing to children. Like, no, it might be marketing to young men who, as of the age of 18, can get a medical marijuana recommendation in the state of Colorado. And to say that the picture, you know, pictures of scantily clad women are only marketing to young men, excuse me, I'm 48. I was, let's say I wasn't offended by the pictures. And if I was offended, it wasn't for the reason of them being scantily clad women. It's for the sexism and the marketing. As if scantily clad women don't appeal to older men, or lots of women for that matter. I digress. Let's get back to some of the Kevin Sabet audio here.
And other groups vulnerable to addiction as well. There has been a huge tide of money around the world, actually. It's important to mention this because we don't hear about that. And especially around in the United States, by this industry and by lobby groups with industry folks on their boards of directors, often calling for an end to the war on drugs or a health approach. And then, unfortunately, when you sort of dig a little bit deeper, you see the money is really about something much more pernicious, I think, because I don't think any of us want to see those who need help incarcerated or criminalized for what is essentially a health problem. But we also know that health problems are not ameliorated when we support them, when we promote the actual disease. Which is what we're seeing. Many of you know that.
See, this is where Kevin Sabet lives, and that's why I don't think he's like to be a bullshitter. You have to know that what you're saying is bullshit, and I don't think he thinks what he's saying is bullshit. I think he believes it, that people that use marijuana have a disease. That's the way he sees it: is that drug abuse is drug use. That any use is abuse, that using drugs, just the act of taking drugs, the idea that you as a sober human being would want to alter your consciousness is right there what he's against, is this idea that you'd change your consciousness. Well, you must be sick. You don't like yourself the way you are. You hate being sober, therefore you don't like reality as it is, and that's a sickness. And there's people that think this way. And I believe that's where he's coming from. You see it in the background of all of this rhetoric. He just said something to the effect of that we're promoting this disease.
by legalizing marijuana. No, you're recognizing that a whole lot of people already use marijuana. They already do. It doesn't matter if it's a disease, a moral failing, a health choice, a smarter alternative. All use is none ya. It doesn't matter why they're using. There's 28 million of them already doing it. And they're going to keep doing it. You're never going to stop them from doing it. I was smoking a joint two blocks away from the United Nations that just had a big discussion about enforcing international drug treaties that made what I was doing illegal. They're not going to stop it. There's already 28 million. So the question is, how do you deal with all those people that are going to keep doing what they're doing? And if they're going to keep doing it, somebody's going to keep supplying them. And if you don't legalize it, the market side, you're going to have violence. You're going to have corruption. It's an immutable law. It's just we've seen it in stark terms in Mexico, in Nicaragua, in Honduras. We know this exists in every city in America. The evidence is quite in. We don't need a whole lot more study or introspection on it. If you don't legalize the market, criminals own the market. And criminals with money do bad things. We'll come back with more Kevin Sabet when we return from South Carolina. We're live. I'm Radical Russ. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado, at the Alaska Northwest Cannabis Classic, at the 26th annual Boston Freedom Rally, at the High Times Cannabis Cup Northern California, day one of CannaCon in Seattle, Washington.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're live from South Carolina, where I just finished eating two pixie sticks. Remember pixie sticks? Just the powder in a stick, right? Great stuff. I'm telling you, this is... It's interesting how over the past week I've stayed in the guest room at Keith Stropp's house, founder of Normal. And then I went to a hotel room in Midtown Manhattan that was like a bed and then a foot around that bed, right? That you could walk around, and then a little bathroom tucked off the side, right? And it was $91, which was, I'm like, oh, I got a Midtown 91, right? I wanted to get it for the next day. I looked up on, because I got it through hotels.com, right? And I went online to see if I could extend it another day. Second day, $988 for that room, right? So I had some sort of wicked ninja, got it last second, they had to sell it or else deal. And I didn't get it the second night. And then the next four nights, I spent in an Airbnb in Long Island City, off of Crescent Street, off the Queensboro Plaza, that was like this two-bedroom apartment that had been subdivided into four rooms, and each one was being Airbnb'd by somebody, and you never saw anybody in it, and like the living room and the kitchen were always empty. It was really weird. And again, my room, bed, 1 foot of space around it. That was like $41 a night, though. So I got to stay in New York for that pretty cheap. And then I go from there to a Hilton in Eugene. Two big plush beds and a wonderful shower. It's all nice. And then from there, I end up here, which is the best so far. This is the best so far, I got to say, because there's house burgers, and there's pixie sticks, and there's dabs, and it's just a wonderful thing. All right. So let me get to the Kevin Sabet audio. Got some more of this from the United Nations General Assembly special session. Here's some more Kevin Sabet.
In 2016, November of this year, several states will be voting on this. And right now in Vermont, especially, there's a very rigorous debate about what is happening. We are very concerned because we know that, and this is actually, these are statistics from Europe, but it's the same in the United States. Heavy users dominate the overall consumption of marijuana. And I'm glad we have people here from Dr. Lanoue here from Colorado who can also talk a little bit about this. But what we're very concerned with is that actually the sort of the most users of marijuana, and really this is true of all drugs, don't, and including alcohol, aren't ones that are using it every day or actually using it in you know sort of near daily use. But the small proportion, and in this graph we see here 20%, the small proportion of the people who used it in the past year, who use it almost every day or every other day, they are the ones responsible for consuming the majority of the total volume of the drug. And so 20% of Europeans who smoke marijuana or use it close to every day are responsible for using 76% of the total amount. And that's...
Yes, and 20% of the drinkers are those who drink 80% of the beer, and 20% of the smokers are those who smoke 80% of the cigarettes, and 20% of the potato chip eaters are the ones that eat 80% of the potato chips, and 20% of the people who buy fur coats are the ones that buy 80% of the fur coats, and so forth. This is something called the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle. It applies to just about anything for which there is a market. Now, Kevin wants to push this as his big marijuana point, the idea being that these industries, knowing that most of the consumption of their product happens among a small group of very committed consumers, are going to target those consumers. So you can find analogs to this in the targeting of alcohol toward young binge-drinking people, college-age binge-drinking people. You can find this in the targeting of fast food to people of lower income and people with more obesity and so forth. So the idea is, like cigarettes, that those were targeted at young people to get them addicted early so they'd be lifetime smokers and heavy consumers of cigarettes. Likewise, there's going to be this push by big marijuana to have these consumers built young. We're going to market the marijuana to the kids young so they can start for a long time and be lifetime smokers. That's the idea. Now, the problem with this thinking is that marijuana is a product that's far different than cigarettes. See, Big Tobacco had to lie about its product, because its product is toxic, and it tastes like shit. It tastes awful. When you first smoke a cigarette, first time, anybody who's ever first smoked a cigarette, it tastes like shit. and usually makes you dizzy and hack and ugh, it's just awful for most people. So how do you get someone to keep using that product? Well, you got to do marketing. It's got to be something that makes you adult, something that makes you cool, something that makes you sexy. Something for which peer pressure can make you want to conform to using that product. And indeed, that's what cigarettes had to do. They had to make it seem cool, had to make it, you know, the signature of the bad guy or the femme fatale. And the young people wanted to copy that and seem more adult. But what we've seen recently is an incredible decrease in cigarette smoking, especially among the young, as that marketing has been attacked and as young people got the real information about what cigarettes do and how harmful they are. Now, to try to apply that model to cannabis doesn't make a lot of sense because cannabis is neither toxic nor highly addictive, and also it's a pleasant thing that has, for many people in many circumstances, medicinal benefits. You don't have to lie about this product. You can tell the truth about it. The problem is, to people like Kevin Sabet, telling the truth about it to them sounds like marketing, sounds like trying to falsely create a desire for a product. There's nothing false about the desire for marijuana. It's a very valid desire. Our bodies have an endocannabinoid system. We like to feel good. Sometimes you get the blues. Smoking a joint seems to make you feel better. Sometimes your back aches from a hard day of work. Smoking a joint might make you feel better. Sometimes you want to enjoy a meal or a concert or some great sex, and smoking a joint makes you feel better. We're not bullshitting. We're not marketing this. We are telling the truth about this thing. And most of us, most of the more responsible ones of us, are willing to concede that it's not for everybody and it's not for every circumstance. Some people shouldn't be smoking, and some people are smoking too much. I'm willing to concede that. It's not for me to decide if it's too much. I mean, it might be in my opinion, might not be in their opinion. Seems to be affecting their lives in negative ways. But I think everybody has a right to live a negative life if they want. That's one of the problems I have with some of our laws and some of our vision in how we deal with others, is this idea that we all have to live up to some sort of ultimate potential, right? That we're not allowed to fail, that we're not allowed to live substandard lives. Why not? That's what freedom's all about, isn't it? Freedom to be who or whatever the hell you want to be, even if it's not the best you can be. Maybe even if it's the worst you can be. So long as you're not harming others, you have every right in the world to harm yourself. That's the way I see things. Anyway, let's go back to Kevin Sabet, see what he's got to say.
Important if you're in the issue, if you're in the business of making money off of these kinds of activities, because you need to focus on those people who are the majority and the lion's share of your profits. You're not focusing on the person who, you know, wants to use it once or twice a year. You're not focusing it on sort of later users whose brains are pretty solid and aren't really going to be changing in terms of as vulnerable to addiction as they were if they were younger. You're focused on those that are really going to be the ones bringing your profit share. And in the U.S., overall marijuana use has been on the rise in the last decade since legalization and sort of much more, I would say, commercialized medical marijuana programs have been widespread. You know, you can't really paint such a broad brush of this issue of medical marijuana in the U.S. Every state really is a cornucopia of different sort of implementations. Here in New York, for example, you cannot buy smoked marijuana for medicine. It is extremely limited in terms of where it is and who can actually dispense it. Well, west of the Mississippi, most of the states, if you say you have back pain and you go to somebody who's not a doctor, you can actually still get smoked marijuana.
Okay, so that's a gross misstatement right there. So west of the Mississippi, that would include Colorado, and that would include Nevada and Arizona. Now, I know in Nevada and Arizona, they have fairly strict condition lists that you must qualify under with a doctor's recommendation, not a doctor. Oregon, similarly difficult, sorry, having trouble with my enunciation, Similarly difficult with Oregon, you have to have a doctor's recommendation, and there's a strict qualifying list. Washington had been a little lax. It's getting a little stronger, but and then the most lax would be, of course, the famous California experiment. Alaska, though, has a fairly strict condition list, and Hawaii has a fairly strict condition list. All of those states west of the Mississippi. Oh, yes, let's not forget Montana. Montana is a strict condition list that's gotten even stricter under its most recent legislative changes. And New Mexico, let's not leave out New Mexico, with also a strict condition list where one could not just walk in somewhere to a not a doctor and say they have a backache. I get so tired of that characterization by Kevin Sabet.
For your supposed ailment. So what we've seen since those programs have spread is essentially an annual growth rate of close to 6%, an average annual growth rate. And really in the US, we're seeing the overall use go higher. We are concerned because essentially your brain is under constant development when you're an adolescent. And you know, here you can see from age 5 to 20 what your brain's looking like. And while it is your brain is sort of figuring out who it's going to be for the rest of its life, it's vulnerable to things that can come into contact with it. By the way, good or bad. I mean, if you learn a sport when you're 5 or 10 years old, you're more likely to be a lot better at that sport throughout your life than when you're 50. You learn a second or third language very quickly when you're 4 or 5, much easier than when you're 40 or 50. Well, the sort of double-edged sword part of that is that you're also more vulnerable to addictions of anything, of any kind, of all drugs. And what we know about cannabis and the excellent WHO report summary we just heard talks about the different specific regions in the brain that are especially vulnerable to marijuana. And I think what's so one of the sort of interesting things we heard about the truth that there have not been fatal overdoses, although many overdoses, but not fatal overdoses from marijuana resulting in stopping and breathing. What's interesting is here, actually, if I can get the green, there we go. We, as you see, we don't have cannabis receptors, cannabinoid receptors in the brainstem, whereas we do for opiate receptors. And the brainstem actually regulates your heart rate and breathing in that way. So the reason we don't have the fatal overdoses is not because sort of one thing is less harmful than the other or whatever. It's because actually that mechanism in the brain that would stop breathing isn't there, thankfully, in terms of the cannabinoid receptors. It is there.
So Kevin Sabet is thankful that we don't have any cannabinoid receptors in the brainstem so that smoking pot would cause us to die. Do you think we'd still be smoking pot if we did, if it was caught? Jeez. Only so much you can listen to. We're going to come back, wrap things up here, live from South Carolina. I'm Radical Russ. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com,
or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Live in South Carolina. We'll be here for the next couple of days. There's apparently an event happening in Rock Hill, South Carolina tomorrow. I don't know whether I'll make that one. And then on Thursday, an event happening at the State House in Columbia, South Carolina, in the morning. And I think I'll probably make that one. We'll go to the State House, Columbia, South Carolina. Reaching out to all the South Carolina listeners out there as well, if you'd like a chance to meet up. Maybe we could have a lunch. Some sort of get-together while we're there in Columbia. That would be pretty cool. And then heading down to Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Dahlonega, but we'll be heading to Atlanta for the Unity Torch there, and then making my way to Miami, Florida, May 1st through the 4th, I believe, and there'll be one of those Unity Torch events down there in Miami as well. So at any of these stops along the way, if you're in that area and you'd like to meet up, I love meeting up with fans from all over the country. John Chambers was in our chat room just a little while ago. Got to meet up with him in Eugene, Oregon, and hope you had a good time there at that party, John. I had an extra party pass, so I managed to slip him an extra party pass. I hope that worked out okay for you. But it's always fun meeting people because, you know, it's hard for me to believe sometimes that this is my life, that this is my job, this is what I do. And it's always exciting for me to bring this to you. We'll be having an update to the RadicalRust.com website as soon as I can get to it, which God knows when that'll be. But we're looking to update that. If you are a web design company, speaking of Orange Hill, but if you are a web design company and you'd like to sponsor my web redesign and get all the shout-outs in the world on my show, give me a call. Give me a ring. Send me a note through any of the social media, Radical Russ here. I would love to outsource my web redesign to somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, can make it all tablet friendly and shit. My web skills ended in the early 2000s, folks. I know my limitations. So need help for that. Need to build a blog-heavy, podcast-friendly sort of interface that has a VIP section with premium content only accessible to VIPs, special newsletter for VIPs, that kind of stuff. You got any ideas, let me know, RadicalRuss@gmail.com. That's all the time we got for today. Live from South Carolina, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.